to It's All Journalism. I'm Megan Cloherty, here with fellow producer Michael O'Connell. And today we've got Jim Brady, the editor-in-chief of Digital First Media, via Skype. If you've been following the Twitter stream for the past few weeks, you've probably seen our guest's name mentioned as things change at Digital First Media. Morning, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
So as a starting point, can you describe what the goal of Project Thunderdome was?
It was threefold. One was to try to centralize the non-local news production in one place because, you know, in our view, it still stands. It doesn't make a lot of sense for papers that are inherently local and need to be that way to survive to be spending a lot of time producing non-local news. So 20% of the effort in your newsroom is going toward producing non-local stuff. Obviously, that doesn't make a lot of sense in these tight times. So it was our job to help produce the national content. The second part of it was to start creating products that we could use to drive revenue by launching across all 75 of the dailies, like a technology section and a health section and a pets vertical, using the power of the scale that DFM has to, you know, take these sections and monetize them. And then the third was just providing sort of specialized services, I guess, for the properties as well. So, you know, data, video, curation, live breaking coverage, and allow the papers to tap into the tools and resources we had there when necessary. So, you know, when the new town story happened, we had a bunch of people go up to Connecticut from Thunderdome to help with editing, with reporting, with video, with social. And so it was a shared services was sort of the third element of it.
So how far along did Thunderdome sort of progress on its towards those goals?
I think the non-local news thing we were certainly doing by the time it came apart. The third part, the centralized services, we've been doing for a long time. In the middle one, we were just getting started on. So the creation of new verticals and all that was a technical challenge of the highest order, trying to figure out how to deliver a common section to 75 dailies that are, you know, and three different content management systems and need to be customized locally so that they could be a combination of local and national.
Now, I saw somewhere that you had 8 of the sections implemented by the
time. Yeah, I mean, they'd just gone out, so, you know, they didn't have much time to build an audience or to really reach the potential that we had for them. So I'd say we were, you know, two of the items, we had made a lot of progress on one of them, not much.
So let's talk about when the change came, if you saw it coming, and what the result is, because I know they're continuing on sort of in a different capacity, and what that means for the 75 dailies that you were spending so much time building a relationship with.
Well, I mean, the dailies are going to have to take over any of the work that Thunderdome is doing that they want to retain. So if they want to keep the verticals, and I think there's a group that's debating whether they want to do that or not. If they want to keep those verticals, they'll have to figure out how to produce them somewhere out in the field somewhere. But I mean, there's really only a few people from Thunderdome are staying on long term, and those folks are working on the print redesign and on sort of photo galleries. And so, I mean, the team that was doing all three of the things I just mentioned is all departing. So,
right.
They're going to have to figure out whether they want to retain that work or not.
Is it fair to say they completely pulled the plug on this, or are they trying to sort of salvage some of it? Can you kind of explain for those who haven't been following it what had happened in the last couple of weeks?
We have 50-some-odd people, and you know, 95% of them will be leaving the company as part of this change. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Thunderdome is dead. And, you know, whether the work lives on or some of the new ideas and technologies we brought into the company will live on, I think they will, but they're going to have to be managed by the papers now, just from a cost perspective. Just times are tight, and, you know, when you're looking for things to cut, certainly one of the things that you get, you know, unfortunately got Thunderdome on the list was, it's not in and of itself a local property, and I think it is a fair argument to make that, you know, at heart, Digital First Media is made up of 75 local newspapers that have to survive because they're so, you know, important in their communities, and they still drive a significant amount of revenue. And so if you have to trim somewhere, it's more likely to be the thing that doesn't have a home base like the papers than it's going to be the papers. And I
right.
think it's just, you know, unfortunate that phenomenal team and a lot of the ideas and a lot of the cool things they were doing goes with that. But hopefully, and I think this is where the challenge will lie with the papers, is can they maintain that going forward? Because there were a lot of things that Thunderdome was doing that the paper should be doing going forward, and we'll just, you know, we'll see how much of that continues on.
So tell us sort of what you learned through Thunderdome. What were some of its high points and lessons that maybe other newsrooms could take away from that?
Well, I mean, I think high points are certainly, you know, it's hard to call it a high point, but in terms of in a point that really showed off Thunderdome's value is Newtown, because of the ability for us to take a really excellent team and throw them at a big story to help the local property, you know, cover. And even though we have a lot of people in Connecticut, that's a kind of story that takes more people than almost any newsroom can throw at it. So by adding in all these, you know, people and skills that they didn't necessarily have enough of in Connecticut, you know, we're really able to help do a much better job covering that story than we would have if the properties had been left on their own. We did some really cool work around the JFK assassination. We built crime maps for the Denver Post and for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and we did a lot of data projects. I mean, there's a lot of cool work that came out of it. I think, you know, one of the learnings is it is difficult when you're producing really cool work like the team was, to have that sort of distribution of that work be totally dependent on properties that don't always have the same priority. And I think, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I probably would have advocated earlier for Thunderdome to have its own public-facing site and ability to communicate out what it was doing. But I certainly think one of the things we showed was the importance of data and the importance of video. We, you know, the Thunderdome team really took the lead on the Tout partnership that we had and did a ton of training in the field on video. And I think we have left a couple of legacies on data and video and, you know, the importance of those new sort of storytelling forms.
Well, I know that when we talked to you in 2012, sort of in the early days of this, one of the things that I thought was kind of neat was that, you know, a lot of newspapers, you know, had to cut back staff because of, you know, the economic situation. And, you know, one of the places that there was a lot of loss was in national news coverage, big news stories. And Thunderdome was sort of seen as a place where that could sort of be created and shared out, sort of filling the role of, you know, like an old wire service or something like that, or a national desk.
But cooler.
Yeah.
with other stuff. Were you able to fulfill that mission much? Or?
I mean, we did. Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of how we handled, you know, breaking, for example, I mean, we did not, you know, we from the start decided we weren't going to worry about write throughs or doing your traditional kind of, you know, when a story broke, we popped up on Scribble Live, and we were using that tool the way it should be used, inserting tweets and photos and updates. And I think we broke away from the very traditional way of doing those big stories to make them much more sort of feel sort of alive, you know, by just updating them in a way that, you know, engaged people and kept them involved in the story. And frankly, it was a hell of a lot easier for them to follow kind of the latest on any story. So I do think we attacked that differently. We also did partnerships and tried to embrace the idea that there's only so much we can do as a company. We ought to partner with people who have expertise in areas that we don't have people. So we did a partnership with Global Post. We did really great partnerships with ProPublica and Center for Public Integrity, where we, you know, kind of did a national local hybrid where they would do a big national story and we would be able to localize that based on the data that ProPublica gave us early access to. And, you know, we were able to then turn local stories around on these big national issues that they were doing. So we, you know, I think we did show off a lot of new ways of doing national and international news. And I think, you know, hopefully those, again, will continue on, because I think we're past the era where just putting up a story and updating it every half hour with new details is the way consumers want to follow stories like that.
Now, one of the things that you said sort of in one of your answers, you were talking about, you know, different goals, that the different papers have different goals. And clearly, you know, if you're in a tight budgetary situation, you know, you're sort of, you know, locally focused, you're trying to figure out exactly what it is you're give priority to, what your readers want to get. Do you think that there was, was it a negative that the, that, Thunderdome didn't have a revenue stream of its own that it was producing, that it was sort of this feature that was building out to all these different papers?
Well, I mean, I guess based on what's happened in the last week, that would be an easy read on it. So, yeah, sure. I mean, I think you can make the case. I mean, the idea was always that that would have a revenue stream at some point, and we looked at different options for it. You know, we just ran out of time, but we looked at options like, you know, do we take some of the services that we're providing to our own papers and offer those to other papers, whether they're news organizations, agencies, but, you know, we have a great data team, we have a great video team, we have great graphics folks, we really know how to do curation and breaking news. Is there some way that we can then syndicate out some of the stuff that we're doing to papers that are not in the DFM chain for, some amount of money, whether it's on a retainer basis or on a case-by-case basis? So we were starting to look at those kind of options. But again, I think the clock just ran out because of the, you know, cost constraints in the company.
Jim, you kind of assembled like a digital A team here for the second time, but a lot of really talented, interesting people who know what they're doing came to Project Thunderdome. And do you think that, I mean, I know you said it was a positive experience because of how much work was done and it sort of changed as far as partnerships and news gathering. But do you think that these individuals really took something away from it being a part of kind of a new idea and being out on the forefront of news, even though it didn't work out the way we hoped?
Yeah, I think they do. And they've all been very, very open at the happy hours and the sort of the Irish wakes we've had, I guess.
The happy hours.
of saying that. No, nobody regrets taking the job here. That, you know, when we signed up this group, we told them to hang on for a wild ride because we didn't know how Thunderdome would progress. We didn't really know how it would play out. And, you know, and obviously we were good for our word on that one based on the last week. But I think, that group getting to work with each other for the last 2 years, and that's what most of them have said. They've said, I've never worked with a more talented group in my life, and just being steeped in this culture for 2 years has just been a phenomenal experience. And look, the good news is, like with TBD, is the project got enough attention that, you know, certainly the outpouring of emails I've gotten with jobs and with opportunities, you know, has been amazing in the last week. And a lot of these folks are already heavily engaged in interviews with, you know, kind of blue chip companies. And I think a lot of them are, you know, you'll see a lot of them in jobs in the next couple of weeks. So I don't think they regret it. And, I think it's anytime you can spend a couple of years sitting in a room with 40 really smart people,
right,
who just have decided that there's no standard way of doing things, that everything is up for debate and everything is up for being changed and tweaked and rethought. I mean, that's an exhilarating experience. It was exhilarating for me to sit in the room with them, and I'm an old fart at this point. So,
so you seem to have a history of noble experiments in journalism. WashingtonPost.com, TBD.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah, there you go. Noble experiments.
And now Project Thunderdome. What are these experiments? What are these sort of? Yeah, I don't want to call them attempts and failures, but. Periods of experimentation. What are they doing for journalism as a whole, you think?
Well, I hope that there's lessons learned from that others pick up on. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of, if you go back and look at TBD and look what it was going after, I don't think any of the things that we chased 4 years ago were off in terms of the sort of philosophy. I mean, the heavy focus on network journalism and leaning on people who are already producing good work in a market and focusing on doing what you do best and linking to the rest, as Jeff Jarvis would say. Mm-hmm. And I think the concepts that were there and an early focus on mobile, I think all those things are the right things. So I hope there's something to be taken from all of these things. And I think a lot of the storytelling forms we were playing around with, I think, are hopefully things people will learn from here as well. And I would concur that, calling things successes or failures, I mean, living in the legacy media world, I mean, a lot of people will look at this and say it was a failure. On the other hand, you also have, in the startup world, trying a couple things and having them not end up the way you want them to is considered, normal. So
that's a great way to say that, because if we were sitting in Silicon Valley right now, this would have been a very successful, a couple years under your belt.
Yeah.
A lot of news turned out, but because we think about news in sort of legacy, decade-long projects.
A 100-year newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, this is just as much of a failure of the economics of newspapers than it is anything else. I mean, the times are just tough, and they're getting tougher. Mm-hmm. And experimenting is really important. And John signed me up for this, and I'm glad I did it too, because I got to work with amazing people, and John did a phenomenal job of letting me build this group, and I have no regrets certainly doing it myself either. So, but I, you know, again, I do think every job and every experience is sort of another piece in a puzzle, and at some point you put all those things together, and you know, and my attitude is always the next thing is going to be the best thing, and we'll see where that leads me.
Speaking of noble projects, we had Yuri Victor on, who is a part of the Vox startup operation here in D.C. with Ezra Klein. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. It's sort of a new aggregation of news, and the way he put it was, we're not doing, you know, I think his best example was the healthcare example, that there was so much coverage of what was going wrong that we didn't do a service to people who just wanted to know what it meant. And how you sign up for it, and just the basics of it. And so he said, you know, they're taking news from sort of A to Z. They start with, hey, this is what it is, and they end with, here's the analysis. But if you've been to the site, I don't know, have you had a chance?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? I mean, it's kind of new, obviously, but...
The first thing is never judge any new site by its first week. I mean, whether it's 538 or everyone... I mean, the whole idea is you launch these and you build on them as they go, and what Vox looks like in 6 months, I'm sure it'll be very different than it looks today. But, I mean, certainly conceptually, I get why they're trying to do that. I mean, so much of what makes the web works on the web is finding the spot that nobody's in, as opposed to being the 100th person to write a story about, you know, how ACA is, you know, flubbed out of the gate from a technology standpoint. And I think if they, you know, anybody who sticks to the idea of, let's look at what the coverage is on this particular story, find where everybody is massing and don't go anywhere near that, I think is a good idea. I think we, you know, getting away from the pack mentality is really important, and people do want a good explanatory journalism. And I love I thought the piece they did on Amtrak the other day was great.
Yeah, it was great.
It was just kind of one of those, like, how do you not read that story? I've never seen anybody write that story. And I think, you know, if you start with the idea that let's figure out how to either tell a story nobody's telling or figure out a way to tell a story in a way that's different, I think that's always a good starting point. And I think both Nate at 538 and Ezra at Vox are trying to do that. They're trying to figure out a way to tell stories that gets away from your traditional pattern, and I think that's great.
I was going to say, you have your eye kind of, you always do, but your eye on interesting projects going on. 538 is one of them?
Yeah.
Are there some others that you think we should be looking to?
I think Quartz is doing some really interesting things, the way they've just really kind of, you know, built the site and focused it very much toward the world we're headed toward, which is the mobile world. I think that's, you know, I just think they're doing a lot of really smart things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are, you know, I think just watching Vox is, you know, stepping back from Vox.com, but looking at Vox Media as a company, I think they're, you know, that their strategy of going after some of these really interesting verticals is a good one. And I know a lot of people over there are impressed with what they've done. There's always a lot of good experiments going on out there. And I think that's the only way you get to an answer. And I think that's why, you know, we live in this media world in which everybody wants to declare everything a success or a failure or black or white, and it just gets so tedious at times, because I'd like to think that, you know, there were things that we did at TBD that sites since then have taken parts of, and there were things that I did at TBD that were parts of sites that came before that. So it's all kind of you know, this is all a collective learning experience here, and that step by step we kind of get our way toward an answer that's both good for the consumer and good for the revenue line. And when we get there, when somebody finally cracks that code, it's going to be due to the efforts of, you know, 1,000 different people trying 1,000 different things.
Well, and the scope of the future of journalism is so wide. But, you know, you standing on the porch of your experience and looking out, what direction do you think we all should be looking? What things are coming up that we should sort of maybe be steering our newsrooms toward to, you know, get us to that place?
Well, certainly mobile. I mean, anybody who's not looking mobile first at any kind of thing they're building is missing the point. I mean, we've gone from a digital first. Not a single one of our papers had more mobile traffic than web traffic 12 months ago, and now 50 of them have more mobile traffic than web traffic. So it's happening that fast in terms of people's desire to get information on mobile devices. So if you're not building around that, that's obviously an issue. But then with the mobile device comes the ability to really start to leverage location and to, I think, do a much better job making money via sort of a commerce way, because paying for things on a mobile phone is so much easier than it is paying for something on the web. So I think you got to look at what unique opportunities mobile gives us for the new space and start attacking those. And I think it means more stream-based news. I think, you know, I think you're going to see people want to follow stories, but want to follow them in a Twitter-like way where they get, you know, updates coming. Yeah, more bits than sort of stories that are weaved together. I just think that, you know, it's becoming obvious to me that the 80-inch takeout could certainly work on the web, and a good story is a good story. People will read it, but you know, the barrier for successful story on a mobile phone is just going to be different than it is in a newspaper or on a website. So, are we thinking about what works on what platform, or are we just going to make the same mistake again, where we take our websites and drop them onto mobile phones the same way we took our newspapers and dropped them onto the web? And I think if we don't get this right this time, I mean, I really think mobile's the second chance for everybody to say, all right, here's what we learned in the late 90s. We can't just take the content in one platform and drop it into another. Let's not do that again, and let's really think about mobile as a completely new thing. And we'll see if we do that, because we, you know, certainly in the mainstream media side of things and newspapers specifically, we don't have a good history of being able to step back and look at those things differently.
Right. When it comes to your next step, obviously I'm sure you've had a bunch of interest, but do you think mobile and, you know, the partnership of mobile and revenue is going to be in your future?
Yeah, and I'm still, you know, I'm still very interested in the local thing. I mean, you know, the frustrating thing about TBD outside of just kind of how it ended was it ended at a point in which we hadn't learned enough, you know, either way. I mean, that, you know, that was, you know, we were at 8 million page views and 800,000 uniques 90 days into a new site. That's a pretty good, number mm-hmm. for something that was a DC only site. So I felt like we had certainly attracted an audience that was interested in what we were doing. So there's still a little bit of an itch to scratch there on the local thing. And, you know, so maybe looking at something in the local space makes the most sense. And obviously that would have to have a huge component in mobile.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's been I can assume it's been a very busy few weeks for you. So I appreciate you taking the time to spend with us. And I'm sure we'll follow back up when your next big thing hits.
All right. No problem. Thanks much.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find more info on us and download other episodes at itsalljournalism.com. This podcast is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.